It's the next gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. I'm here at the HRL Laboratories in beautiful Malibu, California. We've had a wonderful tour of the facilities, a delicious lunch on a gorgeous day, and we have the pleasure of being joined today by Troy Clark. He is President GM North America. I'm also joined today by Jody DeVere. She's from AskPatty.com and the Women's Automotive Association International. Jody, first introduce yourself to our audience.
Thanks for having me, Matt, and so nice to be you, Troy, and have the pleasure of podcasting with you today, you gentlemen. AskPatty was founded in 2006 to reach out and educate and empower consumer women in their car buying, service, and all automotive-related topics. We also train and certify automotive retailers to become female-friendly certified with our 12-month training certification program, as well as providing a lot of support in their advertising and marketing to women. We do it for them.
Wonderful. I'm also joined today by John Grafman. He's with LACar.com. John, welcome to the podcast. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, I'm glad to be here as well as everybody else on such a fine day. LA Car is basically a web-based, it's a publication, and we center on events going on within Southern California and automotive reviews of products in this area.
Great. And for those who don't know me, because we're syndicating this to other websites as well, my name is Matt Kelly. I'm host of The Next Gear. It's an automotive channel syndicated through podtech.net. I have a pretty wide swath, which I like to cop to, and that I cover safety, design, technology, alternative fuels, and alternative fuel vehicles. So it's a pretty wide spectrum, and I like that. So after all that. So Troy, again, thank you for joining us here today. We wanted to kind of keep the interview focused to some pretty specific topics, and that is the Chevy Volt, the EV1, alternative fuels, and fuels in general that General Motors is working on. I want to compliment you today because you actually said something to me that just really made me excited, and that was that you were talking about the old model of communication from General Motors as it relates to like the auto shows, that you always say the same message, same message, same message, same message, and you felt that maybe that wasn't working for you, that you more wanted to actually have kind of what we're doing here today, which is a one-on-one opportunity to speak about General Motors and be perhaps a little bit more candid.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, probably my comment originated not just with the experience of General Motors, but I think, you know, most major companies who tend to mass market, okay, and use trade shows and exhibition opportunities to do these kind of things. There's so many good things that you see inside your own world that you're doing, and you're trying to get that message out. And, you know, despite what people might walk in the door interested in, you know, you're very interested in that, getting out, you know, the messages, both subtle and grand, and of course, doing that. I wish I could really take credit, you know, for the fact that this is a unique idea that I thought of, but, you know, actually you get some very talented communications people in our corporation, you know, kind of studying communication trends and how it works and doesn't work, you know, and said, hey, you know, we really need to create a dialogue with the public in general, you know, even more specifically through the channels that they, you know, look to for this type of communication.
Well,
so this is the basis of dialogue is where we really start.
And that's, you know, why I wanted to kind of have this opportunity here, because oftentimes I am so frustrated that no matter who I speak to at GM, I get the same corporate speak, if you will. So this is an opportunity, I think, for us to be candid. And that's why I'm going to come right out and ask the question, is the Volt coming? Can you guarantee me that GM will build this vehicle?
Well, we're not making any product announcements today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to make that perfectly clear. But just let me tell you, we are extremely excited about this vehicle. Which is not the developer for that application, but it is 24/7 weekly lead on it, and we're kind of in that virtuous process of discovery. You can't even get to work the next day because there's a new discovery on or a new piece of the puzzle to put into place. Bring this vehicle to
the
end.
Well, I want to ask then, why lithium ion? I mean, so many people in our EV1 community that, you know, I participate in are very vehement about nickel metal hydride. You have the technology with the EV1. It got an extension. extended range. There are people who are driving RAV EVs right now that are upwards of 100,000 miles on nickel metal hydride batteries. Why not make nickel metal hydride? Why not bring this vehicle to market sooner with the technology that is currently available?
We can't get the energy density and therefore the weight basically to be able to with nickel metal hydride. So with the type of energy, we're looking for an energy battery, not a power battery. Nickel metal hydride is a great solution for power batteries where you need rapid charge and relatively rapid discharge, but for something that's going to operate for hours in a continuous fashion, lithium ion is a technical solution. That's appropriate.
Troy, women are really concerned about the rising price of gas, and you know they usually are the ones that are handling the family budget. So a lot of women come to ask Patty and ask us which car should they buy that are going to get them the most fuel economy. And today you showed us a slide of all of the vehicles, I think it was more than 20, that are more than 30 miles per gallon, which I was extremely impressed by. But can you just share, because the women will be definitely listening to this podcast, some of the hybrid designs that you mentioned today and the fuel choices that they have?
Well, you know, we talked about a couple of things today. One, which a lot of people don't realize, is we have probably the largest product portfolio of vehicles that get over 30 miles per gallon. And we have 23 entries. A lot of them are, in fact, very popular cars, but they get over 30 miles per gallon on the highway. Things like the Chevrolet Impala, the Santa Mora, the Saab 93, you know, some very good inexpensive products. And that's kind of just, you know, what you get with ICE, internal combustion engine technology. Most of our six-speed transmissions, a lot of them have active fuel management where those percentage of our vehicles, especially our newer ones, are flex fuel vehicles. They can run off of pure gasoline or anything up to what's called E85, which is a combination of ethanol, 85% ethanol, and 15% gasoline. Now, not a lot of availability on the West Coast, but a lot of availability in the Midwest, where the feedstock, so to speak, for ethanol production and manufacturing. We have over 2 million vehicles on the road today that are E85 vehicles. We will continue making about 400,000 vehicles a year and more. And then in 2012, about half of our vehicle production will be E85, or what we call flexible. You can tell those vehicles, by the way, because we do put a small sticker on the vehicle itself. So when you see flexible, that's really what it means. And then the last thing that I talked about was hybrids. Between now and the end of next year, we will have introduced 12 hybrid models. We actually have, I believe, 3 or 4 hybrid models on the road right now. The Saturn Aura, the Saturn View, and then a little bit next year we'll have the Malibu as a hybrid as well. And probably very exciting for us, kind of working from the other end of the product portfolio, we will introduce the Chevrolet Tahoe and the GMC Yukon with arguably the most sophisticated two-mode hybrid, and we'll do that this fall.
And in those two vehicles, which are definitely family-sized vehicles and quite popular with large families, what is the anticipated miles per gallon on those designs?
We're kind of looking for, you know, we're still doing the validation right now. We're really still tuning the vehicles. We got a lot of mules, we call them, or test people driving around. We're thinking it's like 35% improvement.
That's really encouraging, especially right now when, you know, in the summertime too, it seems like as you begin driving more, the gas price goes up even higher with the shortages or however, whatever they do. And it's really encouraging to hear that General Motors has made such a big commitment to, you know, increasing the availability of those vehicles and also working on CAFE issues with the government to increase awareness and the interest in using alternative fuel sources.
You kind of use three important things that are part of the elements of this equation that we have to solve. You know, certainly one of them is to improve the cost of driving, you know, by basically allowing people to drive further on, you know, on the knowledge that they invest in fuel and their vehicles. But the second thing is, you know, we recognize that we have a role in helping reduce carbon emissions and things like flexible vehicles, hybrids, and even future electrified vehicles should work with that as well. And then last, but probably as important as the other ones, is energy independence. We really need to reduce the amount of oil that's imported to the U.S., or at least the amount of oil that's imported to the U.S. that is funneled to the auto industry.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Troy. I heard you earlier today where you did mention that GM has a rather diverse approach to what sort of solutions you have as far as engines and motors for vehicles, be it now and in the future. I was wondering how diesel might play into that, as we already have an infrastructure set up, and it's probably one of the technologies that we can jump into sooner than later.
Well, you know, we have a very ample diesel portfolio in Europe because regulations, tax policy, and such was set up in favor of the development of advanced diesel technology. And you've probably driven some of those, John. You know, there's no difference in performance. I mean, the images of the girdling engines and the dirty soot, you know, that's something. And that requires a significant amount of after-treatment of the diesel exhaust. These after-treatment systems in low volumes are very expensive. If there is a big swing towards diesels, then you know you can expect some economies of scale to generate over time. It's the kind of thing that if there was a kind of a tax policy or incentive, it, to my mind, that's what diesel passenger cars in a big way would require, I think, in the U.S. Because somehow, you know, we put the add-on cost of post-treatment as well as the cost of diesel. You're talking about an add-on cost, which is only passed along the price, which if it, you know, we want to stimulate it, then probably there's some type of support or stimulation. But it's a very viable technology. It's one of the general, it's very commercial and very successful in Europe. And if that looks like the right thing to do here in the U.S., and you know, the market gives us a tug or policy changes in that regard, we're ready to go.
I have about three questions. I'm sorry, we've just been given the last 5 minutes here. I want to make sure that we get these in for the community that's very interested in hearing from you. And that is, the EV1 community is very bitter about what went on with the demise of that vehicle. Does GM have any plans to reach out to that community, those early adopters, to bring them back into the fold with regards to the Bolt?
I think when we have a product to sell, that's probably a great idea. Okay. That is something I'll personally make sure that we look at. You know, I'm sorry that this thing exists. I personally think that with the right product, if we can in fact generate this Bolt and bring it to the market, you know, then I think that it would repair a lot of relationships, and I would have a good personal relationship with this.
And you understand why they might be skeptical about this whole project. A lot of them are calling the Bolt a PR ploy.
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand why they'd be skeptical. This is the kind of very practical, hopefully affordable technology that could usher in, and I don't know, maybe the next great century of the automobile. And I think there's no better place for the next great century of the automobile to be ushered in than the United States. And that's maybe a lofty goal, but it's kind of going to get you up in the morning and can't wait to see the progress being made.
An exciting time to be at GM.
Yes.
Troy Clark, President of GM North America. It's a pleasure having you on the podcast
today.
Thanks
very much. It's a great honor to be here.
And my thanks to Jody DeVere from AskPatty.com and the Women's Automotive Association International, and to John Grafman from LACar.com.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
For the next gear, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.